this time I'd like to call upon our brother Ron for much-needed words of exhortation.
Thank you, Brother Mark. And good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to center our comments on our first reading that we had on our daily reading plan from Deuteronomy. And quite often we miss the first reading because we tend to do the second and the third reading as far as where we select our comments from in the daily reading plan. And I think I tend to have a habit of diverting to that first reading in the Old Testament. I really enjoy the lessons that can be learnt from those early readings. And Deuteronomy is no exception. It has a lot of meaning in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the last book of the Pentateuch, of the first five books that was given to the children of Israel. And its meaning is the second giving of the law. That's what it means. And what makes it so important is we've got it's quite a great drama that's taking place when the book of Deuteronomy is being given. It's the last thing that Moses does for the children of Israel. He's 120 years old, and all the trials and tribulations that he's gone through in preparing that people to do what? They're right on the very border. They're going to cross over the Jordan and into the land. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And now they're on the point where they're going to take possession of that promised inheritance that God had given them. And it looks to me that the book of Deuteronomy is given in very rapid succession. I really think it was just a matter of a few days, but we can't fully prove that. You'll see the phrase, this day, being repeated throughout the book of Deuteronomy. We know that it has to be within 40 days because of the sequence of events that are given to us in the book of Deuteronomy. We know because of his death and because of where they are in within 40 days of that, they're in the land. So we know that it's a very short period of time. So here's Moses and his last words of advice to the Spirit of God to the children of Israel. So it's a very significant book. And I'm going to be a bit repetitive this morning, and it's purposeful, because I find the book of Deuteronomy is repetitive. It's going to not just give the second giving of the law, but it repeats certain emphasis on the advice that God would give us, as well as the children of Israel, as we prepare to go into the promised land. So it's a significant theme, if you will. The setting of this story is very significant. We all want to go into that kingdom. We all want to be prepared as the children of Israel were. And we know that that generation did very well in the land, didn't they? It's not till their children and their children's children that they fall away. But that generation was faithful to the end. They were well prepared by Moses and the elders, by God's laws, as they were taken out of Egypt and trained up in the way they should go, if you will, from the words of the proverb, by the law. And they were well-schooled and well-prepared. And we know because of their parents' disbelief, they perished in that wilderness. So we wait 40 years, and we just have the last few of that generation that we know passes off the scene, and now the stage is set. God always works to certain plans and timelines that he has given the people. So I want to pick it up at, we want to look really just at the first couple of chapters, probably more particular in the second chapter that we were given. And how does Moses start off? Well, I'm going to suggest to you, he's going to build their faith and he's going to build their confidence, because it's a huge task that lies before them. They're going to go into this land that is full of very strong nations, powerful nations. These are the same nations that when the spies went out, they brought back reports that these people be too strong for us. And only two spies, and that's what we get in the first chapter. The first chapter goes through, you know, the story about the 12 spies. And only two faithful reports, Caleb and Joshua. And it's only these two men that are now going to go into the promised land of that generation. Just those two men. Interesting how God works, isn't it? Emphasis, isn't there? There's emphasis that God's trying to impress upon us about being faithful and true. That's what it takes to enter into this land. And he uses those two men as examples. They have faithful and true reports. And they are going to go into the kingdom. Chapter 1 also talks about a little bit about their wanderings. Not much about the details. It's sort of glanced over. He just talks about a few of the events, really, that are leading up to the last few years, if you will, from 38 to 40. It really talks about a few of the events that happen with the children of Israel. So it almost glosses over all those wilderness wanderings. And it goes straight to the end time. And that's what the second chapter is all about. They're on the march. They've hung around this mountain too long. Let's move. We're going to go up to the borders of the land. And I want to just go through some of the things that take place in this second chapter. So keep in mind Moses' last words. Why? He's going to prepare these people to go into the land. And not only to go into it, but to do well and prosper. Verse 4, we see that, and he commanded the people, saying, you are to pass through the coasts of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take good heed unto yourselves, therefore. So we know, you know, there's millions of children of Israel at this time, and they're going to pass through this land. It's an imposing force. But he says, I'm going to caution you here. Listen to what I say. Don't be like your fathers. When I tell you to go, you go. When I tell you to stop, you stop. And that's what God's reinforcing all through the wilderness wanderings. So he says, as far as the children of Esau are concerned, I haven't given you their land. Verse 5. He says, meddle not with them. Don't interfere with them. For I will not give you their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth. Because why? I've given Mount Seir unto Esau for possession. And we get details about how that took place later on in this chapter. But God is working with the nations. He's building their faith. He's building their confidence. He's building their trust. There's only one God. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he is in control. And he is moving the nations. And he says, I've given that people that land. And it's not for you. So he even says, if you're going to go through, he says, pay for everything you get. Whether you want food or water, you pay for it. And ask permission to go through their land as you go up on the east side of the Jordan. He also reminds them of what he did do for them in verse 7. The Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee, and thou lackest nothing. I looked after you, didn't I? All through your wanderings in the wilderness, I looked after you. When we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, through the way of the plain of Ethan, and from Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. So now we've gone through the land of Esau, or the Edomites. Verse 9 tells us, where do we go next? Well, we're going up the land of the Moabites. And he says, don't distress the Moabites, verse 9. Neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give them their land either. He's not going to give them theirs for a possession. Why? Because I have given them unto the children of Lot. Moab and Ammon, children of Lot, for possession. And then he goes on and he shows how he gave that land to the Moabites. Verse 10. The Edomites dwelt there in times past. A great people, and many, and tall, as the Anakims, which were also accounted giants, as the Anakims. But the Moabites called them Enims. Why is he saying that? Well, isn't that the very thing that deterred the children of Israel when they had an 11-day journey to come out of Egypt and to go into the promised inheritance? They're too big. They're too strong. We can't do it. And God's reminding them, who only hath power? I gave this land to the Ammonites. And they took it from those people, as strong as they were. I gave it to them. He's building our trust. He's building their confidence. Down to verse 19. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. For I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession. Why? Because I have given unto the children of Lot. So, as he did with Moab, he does with Ammon. And he won't give, and he won't, it's not for the children of Israel. Because I have given it to this people. Verse 20. They also was accounted a land of giants. Giants dwelt there in old times. And the Ammonites called them Zamzumans. A great people, and many, tall, as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them. And they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So we see what God is doing through Moses in preparing the minds of the children of Israel. And by reflection, brothers, he's preparing our minds. What are the children of Israel noted for? Murmurings, grumblings, complaining. We fall into the same traps as these children of Israel. And we always say, oh, if we had these great signs and wonders, we would never do what the children of Israel would do. Brothers and sisters, we have just as many witnesses as the children of Israel did in our day. I want to talk about them near the end. But they mumbled and grumbled. And God's given them confidence. He's reminding them of how great, truly great their God is. Put your faith and your trust in him. Even these nations, I gave them this land against insurmountable odds. I gave it to them. How much more am I going to give you, the people whom I have chosen? Verse 24. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Aha. So now we've come north up the Jordan, and it's this territory that God says, all right, from here over is what I'm going to give you for your possession. And he says, this man I will turn over. And we have the story as we go through it about how God offered him the same opportunity as he did the Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. Just let us pass through. We'll buy and pay for anything that we take on the way, but just let us pass through. But this man had a different heart. It was full of pride. And he rose up, and he was destroyed. But God knows the end from the beginning. And he prepares the children of Israel to know and understand this. And they destroy them. Men, women, and children, it says. Utterly. And we know that this becomes a possession for the children of Israel throughout their dwellings. Verse 30, but Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into the hand, as appertaineth this day. Verse 23, and the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and his people. So we see in this story, very quickly, this is the beginning, don't forget, he's preparing the hearts of the children of Israel. These things you witnessed. You may have not seen what your fathers went through when I brought them out with a mighty hand out of Egypt through the Dead Sea, but you've witnessed these things. And now there's more that's going to be asked of you. When you go into this land, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to take it. You're going to put your faith and your confidence in me, because you're going to see situations that you think you will not be able to do. You will not be able to overcome. But don't be like your parents that mumbled and grumbled and complained and lost their faith and confidence. I've given you strong evidence. He's building their faith. He's building their confidence. These are powerful lessons that we need to learn. And we need to apply them in our lives. We need to look for the same kind of evidence and communicate them to our children. And if there's another message that I believe that the book of Deuteronomy teaches us is about our children. And I want to look at a number of different verses and that is repeated through the book of Deuteronomy. For the principle, I want to just turn to Genesis 18, 19. And we know and understand their father Abraham. Genesis 18, verse 19, it says, "For I know him, and that he will command his children and his household after him. And what will they do? They shall keep the way of the Lord to do what? To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." So the principles laid out right from their father Abraham. And what he should do, you know, and these lessons are timeless. There's not a time in history where these lessons don't apply from fathers to children, to families. What do we got to do? We got to train up our household. We got to keep them in the way of the Lord in order so they can do what? That they know what right and wrong is, that they can do justice and judgment as ordained by God, divine righteousness, divine judgment. So, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and an understanding people." And that's the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters. God's divine wisdom is right. And even the world, when you show the justice of God, they nod their head in agreement. Yes, that's the right way to divide things and understand and to execute judgment. It's divine. And the world itself acknowledges it. They saw the order, the structure, and the wisdom of the laws that the children of Israel enacted in their existence. And they stood up and took notice. The children of the lands around them, they took notice of this people. And they understood that their God was the God. And it struck fear in their hearts, as we see when they go through the land. Their reputation precedes them. Their gods, many, had no power. And deep down, they knew it. They knew the God of Israel was, in fact, the God. Verse 8 of Deuteronomy 4. "What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine own eyes have seen. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, which the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Now you're going to find that's a very repetitive message in the book of Deuteronomy. Look at those emphasis on those words. You're going to see he taught them statutes, judgments, laws. He commanded them. And he didn't just teach them. He wanted them to keep them. He wanted them to do them. He wanted to for them to be diligent about these things. These are all key words that are going to be repeated and repeated and repeated throughout the book of Deuteronomy. Because those are the things that are going to indeed keep us strong. Learn from them. Learn the lessons of the children of Israel. And you'll do well and prosper and live long in the land. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. "And Moses called all Israel and said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ear this day." Remember I mentioned, he says this day, throughout the book of Deuteronomy. It's a very repetitive phrase. And why do I give them to you? That you may learn them. Keep and do them. There's the process, if you will, if you're going to live long, prosper in the land. You want to keep these things foremost in your mind. And there's a process. We've got to do our readings. We've got to talk one with another. Iron sharpeneth iron. We've got to keep these things foremost in our mind. And we don't just do them and talk about them, or just talk about them. We've got to actually do them. And we've got to give them to our children. You know, for us to be able to give them to our children, what do we have to do? We have to study. We have to be diligent. We have to know them. They have to be in our hearts in order for us to pass them down to our children. This is not difficult. These are very simple messages that God has given us. And yet we'll twist and turn and do everything we can to excuse why we don't do these things. But be warned and be alert and look for these things in your life and turn and change and do them. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I mean, I'm just looking at the first really few chapters as we walk through this book of Deuteronomy and see the emphasis of the message that God has given Moses to give to us. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. I mean, that should be a very clear Bible echo. You know, that's the scribe to Christ in Mark chapter 12, isn't it? What's the greatest command? Love the Lord the God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. You know, and this is where it comes from, Deuteronomy. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, that thou shalt teach them. How? Diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, this is very simple, clear advice, brothers and sisters. You know, and we have to help one another. We have to strengthen one another. And sometimes we struggle doing these things. But we are blessed with all our brothers and sisters. The ecclesias throughout the ecclesial world. There's lots of resources and lots of opportunity for us to help and strengthen one another. And if we struggle in some area, we just have to turn to our brother or sister. And he'll help us. And glad to help us. But mark these things. Lay them out before you. Understand where you're going. We want to get into that kingdom. We want to prepare our households. We want to prepare our children. We want to have strong families. To be strong in the ways of the Lord and in the truth. And this is how Moses instructed the children. And they were successful. This isn't a theory, brothers and sisters. This is a fact. This is how it works. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And you shall teach them your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and that your days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. So, again, you can keep going through the book of Deuteronomy, and you're going to see this thing repeated, repeated, repeated. So what do we do when our children ask our questions? Why do we do these things? What do we do? I want to look at a couple examples because God has shown all things in the scriptures and we see that nothing has changed. The patterns are the same. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 26 and 27. Children of Israel dealing with the Passover feast. It says, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? It's going to happen. We're doing these things. We go to meeting every day. And the children say, well, why do we do these, Dad? Why do we do this, Mom? Why do we do these things? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. Dramatic, you know, the things that these people had experienced. What do we do to our children when they ask us these things? You know, we have a God that is loving and is merciful, but he is righteous as well. And there's coming a day when there's going to be a separation. And he's going to judge the house of the wicked. He destroyed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And he's going to deliver the righteous. You know, and this message is repeated throughout the scriptures. The balance, the goodness and severity of God. Joshua chapter 4. Verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what meaneth these stones? Well, we know when the children of Israel went over the Jordan and into the land, they took those 12 stones and they put them out on dry land as a monument. And it's going to come in time past. What meaneth these stones? And Joshua in chapter 4, verse 22 says, then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the water of the Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Powerful God that we serve. Witness to the children of Israel. And our children need to know these things. They need to know who and what our God is, so that they can have confidence and strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. And when thy sons asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth this testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. These are the stories that they would give confidence to their children. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us up from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. You know, it's interesting when you start to pick out different themes in the scriptures to see how much God reemphasizes things. Well, these are logical things. Every family will go through this, the same process. What meaneth these things? And are we able to talk to these things? Are we able to strengthen our children and ourselves and our families and our ecclesias and the mighty God that we serve? You know, we look in our day and age. I mean, what would we go to? Well, not just the wisdom that's contained in that book, which, you know, we can see separates our faith from the faiths around us, as the children of Israel were separated by the laws that God gave unto them from the pagan foolish worships that existed around them in their day. We have that witness, and we can see the logic and the divine wisdom of God's truth that separates us. But we have the sure word of prophecy. What is different from what the children of Israel were expressing to their children than our generation? We've lived to see it. We've got writings for hundreds of years. We've got scriptures that date back thousands of years. Can we not tell our children with confidence that we serve the same God as the children of Israel, with the same power and authority that knows the end from the beginning? We've seen that the people of Israel scattered, as the Bible predicted, for thousands, 2,000 years. We've seen them come back, as God said they would come back. We've seen them become a nation, 1948. We've seen them get the city of Jerusalem back, 1967. We've seen them bring back the desert to blossom like a rose. We've seen all these things. Do we tell our children? Do we have the confidence to say, we serve the only true God? And he's revealed himself in a mighty way. And he's delivered us with a mighty hand, as he does the children of Israel. We have to instill that confidence in our children if we're going to live long and prosper in the land. So, brothers and sisters, I hope just that quick look into the book of Deuteronomy has stirred your conscience to the message that God had left the children of Israel is the same message that he would leave us. We see how Moses, who's really associated with the law, he taught the children right from wrong, but he couldn't bring them into the land. He brings them to his servant, Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, faithful that we put our faith and our trust, whom we remember through the emblems this morning. We remember his life and his service and his sacrifice. And it's his life that we would emulate and pass on to our children. By our identification with that faithful servant, we, as the children of Israel, will get into that land and into that kingdom. Thank you, brothers and sisters.